Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to start this, but hopefully you can hear me, everyone. So it's really continuing on the theme that Mark had started last week, thank you, about the transition from a Sunday morning worship through to Monday morning, or for me it's Tuesday morning, going into the workplace and what that means for us as Christians. So a day in the life of. So this is our day where we get up. I get up first at 5:30. Ken gets a snooze. So we're basically into the shower, dress, grab our bags, and out the door we go. Ken drops me off at Arundel Station, and I get on the train. Ken carries on the A27 towards Southampton. So just a little bit about me, my mornings on the train. What I try and do is open my email where I have Bible verse that I read. Nikki Gumbel's, I think it's called A Bible in a Year. And I read through a passage on the Bible. He gives a commentary, and then Pippa Gumbel ends up kind of like a woman's perspective. So I read through that and I find that useful. I then started using the prayer app that John, I think, talked about in one of the Lent services. And I find that really helps to structure my prayer time. I find that at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning, my mind can drift. And so I find it quite good. There's a prayer about myself and my own spiritual life. And then I move on to praying about people that I've added to the app. And then there's something about the world that I also pray about. And then the third thing I tend to do is social media. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter. But what's important to me is at the top of all those social media, there's a little bit about your profile. And a part of my profile is that I trust God. And I like to have that there because a lot of friends on Facebook and other social media sites are people from work who aren't Christians. So that in itself just generates some conversation. And now I'm going to hand over to you.
Thanks. So when I'm driving to work, I'm not quite so structured as Ruth. You'd probably be glad to know anyone else who's driving that time in the morning. I'll tend to think about what I've got to do at work first and foremost. That's just how it is for me. And then when I've done that and run through what I've got to get done when I get to the office, I'll then turn to matters of the church and family and praying about people in that time. And I find that a really good time, actually, because it's a time that I have every single day, and it's really quite peaceful. And it sounds really weird commuting in the car, but actually it's a really good time for me in the morning. And this shows me getting to the office probably about 7:15. I'll be quite often the first one in on the really high-performing marketing department that you can see up there on the top left. On the bottom right is my desk, and it's really interesting when you're at work. I think for us, it becomes your entire world when you're at work. It can be so all-encompassing. It's really hard to think about other things. So I just thought, the desk and the sort of 4 or 5 people that you sit next to in an office like in that type of environment really becomes your entire world while you're at work, and sometimes you need to remember that. We put a PowerPoint slide up because this is PowerPoint. We know how much, certain people in the church like PowerPoints up here. No, John, and we deal with PowerPoint virtually every day. So PowerPoint is sometimes called death by PowerPoint. Just cheer you up, might not. And then back to you.
So this next section, we thought we'd just give you a little bit of background about what we actually do at work. We're going to skim through. I've just got 3 slides to skim through very quickly. But I work for the Home Office. And just really to show how I fit into the bigger picture stuff that goes on in government. So if we start at the top, we've got Theresa May's vision for the UK to be a fair and inclusive place to live and work. And also we want to get the best deal for Brexit. And we also want to be leaders on the world stage. They're just a few points I pulled out of the government's vision for this country. And then the Home Office plays into that. Our priorities are to protect the public, to keep citizens and the country secure, to prevent terrorism where we can, to cut crime, control migration, and promote the growth and deliver on efficiencies for this country. So they're all quite high-level stuff, but clearly really important. And if you read the Daily Mail, we're always in there, and nobody's ever happy about what we're trying to do. But we continue. So I work for a team called the Continuous Improvement Unit, and we support other business areas in the Home Office to deliver their key priorities. So, for example, we go in and we help Border Force. I know Dave Hart's not here this morning, but we might go in and help reduce queuing times, for example, for people coming in through the summer period. He would probably have something to say about that if he were here, but he's not, so that's good. So the teams go in and we help improve quality, reduce cost, deliver on those priorities, keep people safe, including the workforce, and also we also do things to try and improve staff morale. And we basically do that by having assignments. Sometimes they're long assignments, which can go on for some time. We're doing some work on Brexit at the moment. Sometimes it's a rapid response. A few years back, the passport office was struggling with a demand on passports. So we went in and looked at their processes, reduced some of those processes, and they were able to meet their targets of getting those passports out. And then also we do a capability building, which is really about learning and development and giving people tools to improve things themselves. So for me, I say we very broadly about the continuous improvement because I don't actually do any of those things. I work for the head of the unit, and it's my responsibility to make sure we as a unit are delivering on our plans for the year. I also manage the budget, always remembering in the back of my mind always remembering in the back of my mind that it's taxpayers' money and we should be using it responsibly. And also, we are a high-performing unit, so people come and go. They come in, they deliver projects, and then they go off, get promotions. So we have a lot of people coming in and out, so there's a big recruitment campaign that I'm always running.
So what I do is far less, if you like, important to the country. However, you know, I have a real passion for what I do, and that's what I'll say at work anyway on Monday. So I work in for B&Q. I think probably most people know, but it's part of the third largest home improvement retail company in the world. There's only two larger than those, both in America. And that's called the Kingfisher Group. B&Q is the UK arm of that. And I work in the marketing department, and I manage the local and regional team. And what that means is that we do advertising campaigns for specific stores that are typically undergoing a change or being built, opened for the brand new, or might have a new competitor come into the area, could be underperforming, or could just have a small change being made. So, for example, if a store has a new kitchen showroom launched, we'll do the advertising campaign in the area. And we'll use local press, local radio, billboards, leafleting, direct mail, email, Facebook, digital ads on your phone. We'll track people's location and what they've been looking at so we can feed adverts specifically to you in the local area and depending on what you've actually searched. So we are very much part of the Big Brother, checking and seeing where you've been, what you've been looking at online. Apologies for that. So that's what we do. We do a million different things. And then this is just a clip of one of the things that we do to try to persuade people into a B&Q. This is Basildon, delightful location that some of you may know. And it's just not too long ago had a bit of a refresh. So one of the things we did was we got hold of Paw Patrol. It's a shame the children aren't here. Maybe they might have known who Paw Patrol are, but parents and grandparents might well know. So what we do is we get them in, they do personal appearances, and it's quite incredible, actually, how many people will come in on a Saturday morning and queue, and this is showing you, hopefully, the back of the queue right the way to the front, because when we first tried this, we just didn't know how many people would turn up, and you can just see people queuing around the entire outside of a store for the pleasure, in inverted commas, of meeting characters from Paw Patrol. And in that instance, you get so many different types of people, and you get obviously a lot of children, and it's really quite a chaotic and sort of stressful day for the store team. But hey-ho, that's what we're aiming to do. And we're nearly at the front of the queue, so you can imagine that that queue is nearly an hour's long wait in a B&Q store. So you know, it takes all sorts, and people are happy to do that. And finally, we get there, and there they are. And no, I'm not in one of those character sets. That's definitely not me. I'm holding the camera. So that's what we do.
So as a working Christian now, we're moving away from what we do and into being a Christian at work, navigating around different cultures, religions, sexual orientations and values can be a bit tricky. But I'm in a privileged position in the Home Office where I'm part of the Home Office Christian Network, which is affiliated to a wider Government in Christians network. And recently, we had a comms around, and it just said that the Christian Government first started only 30 years ago, which I was quite surprised about, and it was by a security guard at the Cabinet Office. And it was really just about the proof that God can use anyone, anywhere, as long as you're willing. And it's something that I try and think about and do while I'm at work. I'm not going to read the verse out, but again, I'm surrounded by some Christians at work, and I'm invited to a weekly prayer meeting where we read the Bible, pray about not only government but other worldwide matters as well. And I can do that once a week in Croydon, if I'm on the Croydon site, and I can do it also in Westminster and just meet with other Christians and then get a bit of lunch afterwards. I don't do it as often as I like because work comes first and sometimes there's meeting clashes, but I do it as often as I can, and it's just nice to have that network of other Christians. Everyday conversations. Now, I can't see this, but I work with Muslims who will say to me, yeah, I know you're a Christian, and I tell them that I believe that Jesus died for me, he died for my sins. But he just believes that Jesus is a prophet. And we go on and we might have a conversation. We've had various conversations about that, but I sometimes feel that as a Christian I don't know an awful lot about the Muslim faith or any other faith. But I make it quite plain and clear that what I believe in. I talk about messy church, I talk about going to church on a Sunday. I'm also asked what you did at the weekend, and that's always... You can always say, well, I went to church and then I did this, that and the other. But I, a bit like Mark was saying last week, I'm not holier than thou. And I, as any of you know, who know me quite well, I'm not. And sometimes I don't make it from the train in the morning through the barriers, Victoria Station concourse and up Victoria Street without having sinful thoughts about people that have bumped into me or just annoyed me. And I do a lot of the, oops, sorry, Lord. And then just generally being a Christian in the workplace, John shared the David Peterson phrase, worship is a subject that should dominate our lives 7 days a week. So first and foremost, I think for me, it's really important to be authentic. John also talked a couple of weeks ago about being a fool for Christ. And I think that you just need to accept that you're a little bit different. And at work, not only am I a Christian, but I'm also a vegetarian. And I also really like Bruce Springsteen. So people think I'm a bit weird, but hopefully they recognize the Christian part of me the most.
Thanks. It may not surprise you, but in B&Q, there isn't anything quite so organized as a Christian or any religious network. It's pretty much secular organization. So in terms of how I witness at work, it tends to be a bit of sort of standing out from the crowd, I guess, which isn't always easy, and I'm sure I definitely don't do it enough. But gossip is just absolutely incredible. The building that B&Q's head office is in is three floors, and there's between 1,500 and 2,000 people in there, depending on what's happening that week. And I probably interact with about 100 people on a pretty regular basis across the building. And every single day, you will hear or see somebody having a hushed conversation that you know is about something that isn't really about work. It's about a personality clash or a way to get around things or just something like that. So when that happens and it's sort of within my earshot or within the sort of the small desk area, you know, I will try to take a sort of left turn and throw into the conversation that's not right or whatever it may be. But it's just incredible the amount of gossip and sort of innuendo that goes on. So that's just a thing that really is quite sad. Then this is a second example. So that's the Salvation Army band, quite an old photo in the top left. And I think pretty much, I'm sure that's the tab on the bottom right. And there's somebody in the PR team in B&Q that we work with really closely, probably the closest person from another team. And she's just moved in with her boyfriend's parents, who happen to be Salvation Army band members. And she is finding that really quite difficult. They're quite strict and they don't like swearing of any kind whatsoever at the home. And we basically have had sort of two or three conversations about how their views and their beliefs are very valid and how she should be really respecting that. And it's really quite interesting how her view of church and the Salvation Army is almost set that far back in the past. And when I talk about what happens at church and what goes on, it doesn't chime with what she thinks church is. And I think that's really quite interesting. And then one of the key ways that I can sort of talk about what church is by the sort of classic thing in an office where you go, what are you doing this weekend? Or what are you doing tonight? So it will be, I'm going to church. That's pretty straightforward. But it could be, you know, it's church camp. It's going to be wonderful weather. It's going to be fantastic. And we'll do this, that. We'll have a service. We'll have campfire, etc., etc. One of the things that proved really quite interesting and actually resonated with quite a few colleagues was at Christmas, when Peter was looking for some support for the food bank and the meals on Christmas Day, and we helped with that, and how when I was talking to colleagues around Christmas about that we were going to be doing that, they were really interested, and actually that felt like possibly a way of them becoming involved in something outside of their own current world. So that I do really try to focus on thinking of different things that we're doing. So I don't particularly come to Messy Church, but I might mention Messy Church as well, and that type of thing.
Oh, we're done. Yeah. So then we come home, and that's sort of between 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening, and then we do things like spin, watch a bit of TV, we try and go swimming, the gym, a bit of DIY, and then we've also got things like home groups, AGMs, and of course a little bit of prayer time and Bible time before we go to bed again and start all over again. Thank you. And now we're going to segue into the Bible reading. And I deliberately did Bible reading in orange for B&Q. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23 in the Home Office purple.